Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
London Palladium show. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I need to behave tonight because I actually have my son's teacher in the audience. So, and actually, you know what? Whilst we're here, if he does say shit or fuck, it's from me, but we all know that now. And he's not a bad kid. Okay? But listen, I know why you're here. You like the podcast, you like the chat about food and family. But you really love my mum. So shall we give her a huge, rapturous applause for Lenny Ware?
Thank you, darling.
Oh, so polite tonight, mum. So
polite. Hi, everyone. Hi.
Thank you, darling.
Hi.
How are you feeling tonight, Mum? Feeling a bit like, you know, you're kind of...
I'm getting into my stride now, Jess.
Yeah? I love that she brings her handbag on stage. Like someone's going to nick it off stage.
It's not...
Or you are, so she needs to keep it there,
I've
right?
I've got my glasses in there, Jessie.
And it's leopard print.
And it's leopard print.
So, what do you feel is going to happen tonight? Is it going to be better than last night?
I think it's going to be a fantastic night.
How have you found your first tour?
We've spent a lot of time together, darling.
But we spend a lot of time together anyway.
I know.
It's just been heightened.
Heightened. Better?
I don't know. It's one thing going on tour in a splitter van with your bandmates and, like, you know, talking about, I don't know, stuff, I don't know. With my mum, it's just talking about chicken soup all the time. How many litres of chicken soup do you think you've made in this tour?
50.
How many matzo balls have you made?
Over 100.
It's,
I actually don't ever want to see a chicken again, to be perfectly frank. There's been a lot of chicken soup. There is some tonight, if anybody wants to try it, yeah.
You've also made a trifle tonight.
Made a trifle, yeah.
And we've also, our darling friend Mash has made some canapés for us and the guests, because what we've realised, it's quite hard to make, well, Mum's now a leading lady. She can't be making food in the day whilst also getting hair and makeup done and also trying to, you know, she needed to zone out and get ready for tonight. So we've got some canapés made by lovely Mash. There's lots of delicious things. There's like crab with chicory. There's some cup of something with a pea puree. Anyway, it looks all very delicious, and it's going to be offered up to our guest. Now, should we talk about who the guest is?
Well, she came in to the entrance.
She out-glammed you.
She out-glammed me by a zillion sequins. She looks absolutely so phenomenal.
We have been desperate to have this woman on our podcast for years. She said to us, why have you never asked me? And I said, well, we were saving you for the big one. So I am such a fan of her, and so are you. And
she's clever, witty, funny.
Opinionated.
Very opinionated.
Passionate
and super glamorous.
Please, can everyone give it up for Vanessa Feltz?
Hey. Wow.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yes. And Vanessa.
This is for you, ladies.
Wow.
This is for you. Good evening, everyone. My gosh.
Thank you. Oh,
thank you for having me.
Pleasure. I mean, you've just entered with challah bread, and I thank you for that. Who is this by, Vanessa?
This is by the challah mummy, and I am the challah mummy's mummy.
So you're the challah grandmum?
I'm the challah bubba, or the challah grandma, whatever you want to call it. My daughter Allegra Benita turned from a tax lawyer into a baker of challah.
I mean, they're beautiful.
I mean, don't ask me how that happened or why it happened, but it happened. They're and look gorgeous. At these gorgeous challahs, yeah. A plaited loaf.
Speaking of challah bread, thank you so much, Allegra. You're in the audience.
Where
and
is
I
she,
really,
Allegra?
We demanded that you brought this. So thank
there,
you.
There she is. Love you.
Thank you, Ben.
Love you, and she looks good. You see how gorgeous she looks?
Yeah,
look at that dress.
You're trying to set her up with someone.
She looks gorgeous. No, she's all mad. She's married to a very tall Frenchman. Thank God. That was a relief, I must say. Getting the daughters married was such a relief. What? I could finally sleep at night after that. My God. No, that was a huge strain.
Did you feel the same?
No, darling. You were going out with your boyfriend from the age of 17. Yeah. It was on the cards for a long time.
Well, your other daughter got married in Las Vegas, but we didn't know about it.
No,
did
we
she?
Didn't, yeah, darling.
Draw a veil. And that's about that. So, challah reminds me of when I was at
Sussex University, and I...
Woo! Yeah, it was good. It was all right, wasn't it?
And I tried to embrace my Judaism when I was in Sussex University, and I made friends with a girl called Maytal, and I loved her, and she was very kind of, I don't know, she was like a different, she was a North London Jew, and she was kind of exotic to me, and I found her very exciting. Anyway, she was like, why don't we, I don't know why I was doing this and not just taking drugs on the pier or something
you
like
were
that.
Making but colour.
I was making challah with the Lubavitch.
But that's a rounded education.
It comes
in much more useful.
It was very,
the drugs mean, you can do later. You've got to master the art of making a colour and do the
who
rest later.
Would you like a glass or are you sticking?
I would love a glass, yes.
Oh, I said I wasn't going to drink. She's made me drink so much in the last 10 days. It's stressful.
Me, Jessie.
So, anyway, I was making colour with the Lubavitch. Have you ever tried to make it with your daughter?
No.
Do you eat it?
I thought I've got O levels, I've got A levels, I read English literature at Cambridge. Do I need to make a challah? If I want a challah, I'll buy one at Grudzinski's like any sane person. I've never, ever tried to make one and I never will.
Cheers.
Or change a plug or a tire or many other things. L'chaim.
L'chaim.
Cheers, your good health. Cheers. This is better than I could ever have imagined. So, Vanessa,
where did you grow up? I grew up in Totteridge, the Beverly Hills of North London. and we called it the swimming pool and chopped liver belt. So it was a deprived childhood, as you can imagine. But every single facet of our lives was centered around food. Every single minute. So someone got divorced, you cooked a chicken and rushed over with it. Someone had a baby, you cooked a chicken and rushed over with it. Someone was a bit bored, it was a Tuesday afternoon, you cooked a chicken and you rushed over with it. You know, somebody
That's
was looking
normal.
At a loose end, you made a schnitzel, you yeah. took some over. Yeah. You know, someone's baby wouldn't eat anything unless it had tin pears all over it. You pureed the pears, you took them round to persuade the baby to eat. It was the whole thing was about food. Food when you're sad, food when you're happy, food when you're mad, you're sugar, eat some food. The whole thing was about eating, and usually you had a snack first before dinner, in case, God forbid, you might be hungry at any point. The idea that you would ever actually be hungry was such anathema to every single inhabitant of Totteridge, and also, you know, the environ beyond, that you never stood a chance, never, ever, of being hungry.
Well, we think that's completely normal.
Normal.
Yeah,
yeah, normal.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Normal for you lot, or?
Yeah.
So who was cooking? I mean, apart from all your friends and guests that were coming round and cooking and...
Well, when I was a little girl, it was my mother,
yeah.
Valerie, God rest her soul, and also my two grandmas.
Did
my
they
two
live
grandmas,
nearby?
One lived in Stanmore, one lived in Wilson, we lived in Totteridge, but my grandmas were, you know, prolific cooks and cooked with verve and imagination and very proud sort of ownership of their particular chopped liver, for example. Oh. So two grandmas, two Friday nights, chopped liver at both, totally different food experiences.
Which was better?
Don't ask me to say that. I'm going to have to kill myself. How could I choose between my grandmas, between two adorable bubbas? That's not possible.
Was it very different how they prepared?
Like, totally okay. Different. So Grandma Sybil's chop liver, I don't know what yours is like, but Grandma Sybil's chop liver was more like a sort of pate. So darker, coarser maybe, although I don't think she would have liked that word, but you know, stronger. Mm. Thicker, you'd often have it on a Ritz cracker, you know, that kind of a thing. Really, and Grandma Babs's chopped liver was a much more golden colour, softer, moister.
Which one do you try?
It would come on a little, she'd have served on a little glass plate. You know, you'd eat it more with a fork. It was a whole different.
That's how we do it. Do you use chicken livers or calf livers?
Chicken livers.
Yeah, I do
chicken
too.
Livers, yeah.
But I have known it made with calf's liver.
Yes, but two grandmas, two chopped livers, completely different. Two grandmas, two chicken soups, if you ever like to discuss chicken soups. I believe you don't normally mention it. But
no, never.
If you want to make a big exception for me this evening, two grandmas, two sets of chicken soup. Completely different.
Well, I heard a very terrible rumour about you.
What is that?
That you put sugar in your chicken soup.
That's not something I can discuss in public. I'm afraid. There are some things, if you want to ask about my sex life, that I can talk about, but my chicken soup,
that will be
my chicken soup recipe is 100% secret.
Oh, it's secret.
And I don't know how far to go with this, but I would go so far as to deny that rumour about the sugar, but I wouldn't deny a certain mysterious sweetness. But I'm not going to tell you
when
it's ketchup.
I'm
not telling you. I'm not going to. I know you want me to, but I'm not going to. Palladium schmaladium. I'm not telling you, and that's it. You couldn't pay me to give you the secret of my chicken soup. As to go with me to my grave, I'm never going to tell you.
So, what was one of your favourite dishes that your mum made for you, Valerie?
Oh, gosh, my
oh, hello.
Take my earring off.
This is Alice, by the way.
This is Alice.
Producer Alice.
This earring. What's my earring? It is quite
rude.
It clangs,
it bangs.
It's going to ruin the whole symmetry.
I'm not even wearing them.
Now
I've
with
learned.
Just one earring, I look like
I'm
that.
I'm so sorry, Vanessa.
So maybe do I take off the other earring or do I retain
I
one earring?
So. No.
Then what to do gorgeous. For the purposes of glamour?
But if we all known, appreciated the effort.
If I'd known you were going to ask me to take my earring off, I would have reconsidered the whole event, quite frankly.
I'm so sorry.
I'd ruin the whole look.
Lenny's managed to keep
exactly,
hers on,
she's
though,
got hers on.
I think mine's not as far, anyway.
Anyway, yes. Okay, so, Valerie.
Yes.
What was one of your favourite dishes that she made?
My mother used to make, obviously, all the traditional things, but also the most fantastic veal escalope. Which was very, very, very thin. She used to beat it thin. You know, she used to pound on this meat. I think she probably took out on the meat everything she really felt about my father. Norman, bam, in the underwear business, bam, not making enough money and selling enough Winsett pyjamas, bam. And she really used to take it out on the veal. And then there was the dipping it in the beaten egg, and then there was the frying it in the matzo meal, of course, not ordinary breadcrumbs. And then it was just the most fragrant, just thin, delicate, absolutely crispy, but also moist in the middle. I think the absolutely perfect veal escalope.
Did you cook with her?
Not really. I mostly ate and she cooked. but one thing I really do remember about my mother's cooking was she was a terrific fryer of fish, but also absolutely adamant that she didn't want the curtains to smell of fried fish. So you would come home from school and find my mother in the garden in Totteridge with the deep fat fryer or whatever it was plugged into the lawnmower extension. I'm really true.
Making chopped
busily
and
frying fish in the garden so that the smell didn't get into the curtains. Yeah. It makes sense when you think about it, doesn't it, really?
It does linger for about 2 days.
Exactly.
Making chopped and fried.
You That's never right. make it.
I don't, no.
You don't fry fish?
I have done in the past, but I used to wear a shower cap and yeah, because everything smells of fish.
Exactly. Yeah. What about gefilte fish boiled, gefilte fish fried?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a conversation.
Yeah. Well, I think fried all the way.
What about
way.
Boiled with a little bit of diced carrot
on
top?
I like that.
No?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Not good? No, I don't know, I'm not sure.
No?
Not
with
sure.
A bit of crane on the side?
I love crane. Yeah.
Lovely thing.
So I want to know, so you're, when you... You went to Cambridge. Mm. What did you read there?
English literature.
So after that, did you go straight into...
I want to say one more thing about food
go
in Cambridge.
On, please.
I think my parents thought that I might fade away there.
And?
In that land of Gentile food. And they were right. There was nothing to eat in the whole of Cambridge. Absolutely nothing. Also, it was freezing cold. So and what the wind blew survival? Straight from Siberia to Cambridge. You know, there isn't a tree, there's not a mountain, there's not one thing between the two. And the wind comes from the Urals right into... And my father was in the underwear business, and he had to keep sending me thermal vests, which were terrible for my sex life.
Oh.
So every time I was on the verge of getting off with some young, you know, intellectual, looked a bit like Kafka, but better looking and very well endowed, I would have to make my excuses, disappear onto the landing, and hurl a Winsiette vest out of the window into
the
crowd.
Oh, my God, I love you.
And sometimes there'd be a statue, classical statue of Henry VIII or something in the morning wearing... one warm. Of my father's thermal vests that I had curled there in the evening. So that was it. So anyway, once my mum insisted that I invite, I hope she's not in the audience now, but a rather chubby friend from Totteridge to come and stay for the weekend, because she might meet a nice boy if she came to stay for the weekend.
It. So you, I mean, yeah, okay. So, you were telling, were you telling her that there were lots of handsome, gorgeous...
I had to say, yes, she can come and stay.
And so,
anyway, she arrived off the train carrying a tongue. That my mother had
made. That's not going to get you laid.
And she made the tongue curled around a sort of a pudding basin. Do you ever do that?
Yeah,
and she weighed it down with, it looked like a medieval iron,
squashing
this tongue on the tongue, a curl all the way around the pudding basin like that. And anyway, this girl who was rather chubby arrived from Totteridge, schlepping the tongue with her, and somehow during the course of the weekend she ate it.
The whole tongue.
True story. Is she here or not? If she's here, she knows that's true. Not exaggerating. She ate the whole tongue. It was a huge ox tongue.
Whilst you were busy having sex?
Yes.
Right, okay, got it. Okay.
Did your parents used to visit?
Yes.
On the off chance that they would bring bagels on? My parents used to come on a Sunday morning and they'd arrive and, of course, they wouldn't tell you that it was such a big surprise. They'd bring bagels from Manchester and, of course, they'd find... an assortment of people all hungover in the house that they couldn't account for. And then my mother would start making breakfast and bagels and smoked salmon for everybody.
Is this
there.
The exclusive that you used to have orgies at Birmingham University and
did
your
mum
catered them?
No, I didn't have orgies ever, Jessie.
Less about that, the better, thank you. So when you went to Cambridge and did you go straight into broadcasting after that? Is that what you always wanted to do? And were your parents happy about this?
I just wanted to get married.
Oh, okay.
I grew up in Fiddler on the Roof. And that was all that it was about. So the whole Cambridge thing was a kind of a by-the-by sort of interlude en route to bagging a husband, you know, an eligible husband. So did I want to broadcast? God, no, I just needed to get married urgently. It was urgent. When I came back from Cambridge with the bath mat, the kettle, you know, all the things that I'd taken up to university in the first place, my parents were absolutely horrified to see me back again in the bedroom at home. And my father said, "Darling, you've delighted us long enough."
True.
Completely, you can tell it's true.
So
it was urgent to get married.
How old were you then? Only 20.
Just coming up for 21. But old, that was old.
When did you
I was
get
decaying.
Married?
I was ancient at that point. So I was a total embarrassment.
When did you get married?
22. To a doctor that my grandma chose. You know that story? Do you know that story?
I don't know.
I mean, it used to be a really happy ending story, but of course we've been violently divorced. It's not that great now, but it used to be great. At one time, it was terrific. So a doctor came in to take a blood sample from my grandma at UCH Hospital, and she said, "Are you married?"
Oh, my goodness.
And he said, "No." She said, "Are you Jewish?" He said, "Yes." She said, "Have I got a girl for you?"
Oh, my
goodness.
And when
I arrived with a bunch of grapes to visit my grandma, she said, "Okay, borrow my lipstick, do something with your hair, and go down to Casualty and introduce yourself to this doctor I met." And I said, "Oh, Grandma, you don't mean..." She said, "Am I your grandma? Do I know what's best for you? No, go." And I went. And I walked into Casualty at UCH, and I said, "I'm Mrs. Orenstein's granddaughter. She sent me down to..." And anyway, this doctor came out in a white coat, and I said, "You know, my grandma sent me down." He wrote my number on his white clinical coat in biro, and my grandma went mad. "What, you didn't have it written on a piece of paper? He'll send that coat to the laundry. He'll never phone you." Anyway, he did phone me. We got married. The best thing about it, the two beautiful daughters, the divorce, not so good, not so good.
But you're happy now?
Happy now, yes.
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 And how did you meet your current... Are you
oh, the
married?
Lovely Ben.
Your current. Are you married?
No, we're not married, but we've been engaged for 16 hellish years. We've got nothing in common, have we? Nothing. Nothing in common. We've got one thing in common. Anyone who knows us knows we've got nothing in common. Nothing to talk about. We've got nothing to stay in and do.
What about food?
Food? Well, he's a very good cook, funnily enough. So he's from Essex, but of Nigerian origin. Takes a size 14 and a half shoe. I'm not saying anything else. That's all I said. Size of that's all I'm saying. The size of the shoe.
Allegra, what do you do in these situations? That's all I want to know. Someone just cuddle Allegra right now.
Someone is cuddling her. That's very nice. Oh, nice.
So yeah. You have nothing in common, but you,
we have nothing in common, and obviously everybody thought it couldn't possibly work, especially us. You know, it wasn't that everybody said it,
how did you meet?
Yeah.
We met because when I did the first ever Celebrity Big Brother, that's the one where I wore a leopard skin dressing gown and wrote on the table and told Big Brother fuck off that one.
We like
to
know about that. big clap over that.
Yeah, hi. And I was in with Keith Duffy from Boyzone, and Keith Duffy's pal was Ben. And he said to Ben, you're going to really like Vanessa. We were both fixed up with other people at the time, but years later we did get together, and we still are. We've had 16 years together.
Do you remember your first date, and did it involve any food?
Oh, God, the whole thing was just agonising, really. I'll tell you why, because he's 10 years younger than me, but he looks so fucking young. And I thought he could be like 25 years younger than me, or 30. I mean, I just had no idea. So I couldn't think for a moment he could possibly fancy me. I think that was the thing that really clinched it, because I wasn't flirting, because I didn't think he was in the market for a woman of my geriatric antiquity. So I really wasn't going for it. So I think I was quite relaxed and quite natural, but I was just wanting to know, how old is he anyway? And he turns out to be exactly 10 years younger than me. So I know I don't look it, of course, and I'm a walking miracle, but I was 60 in February. And you'll know that that means he's about to be 50. And for a toy boy, that's old, right? And I reckon it's time to trade him in, don't you think so? I mean, he's done good service for 16 years, but you know. He's outgrown the role, hasn't he?
How's his jollof rice?
His jollof rice? I thought we were going to say genitals for a second.
No, I wasn't.
Did you not think that she was going to say that? How's his jollof rice? Excellent. No, he's a really good cook.
Is he?
Excellent. Yes.
How bright a colour and how hot is it?
It's very hot and it's very vivid. And also he makes a sort of something he calls a mug of jug chicken, which is very full of flavour. He thinks, just chicken with lots of spices and paprika and all sorts of things. But he thinks that he's educated my palate over the years to eat much more spicy food than I would have done when I first met him.
And has he?
Probably, yes, because I'm less shocked by it than I used to be.
Have you educated him on Jewish food, or do you cook that
I've
kind of thing?
I've educated him on Yiddish. He's really pretty good.
I mean, what's his favourite word?
Oh, he loves mashugah. He loves the whole thing. He's very into it. He's very good friends with the chief rabbi. Rabbi Merv says, Ben, my son. It's all very, it's quite good. We're united colours of Benetton. It's really very nice. And also he's forever singing at people's bar mitzvahs. And he's always, because it was asking
Can he give
to.
Me some of those
Well,
gigs?
Exactly. Yeah. And he's always introduced as our cousin Ben, the only member of our family who can hold a tune.
Oh.
So that's nice, right?
Sweet.
Very, very nice. Yeah. And also the grandchildren definitely take after him in many ways. No, they really do.
So I need to know about your cooking.
Yes. This is the short part of the show.
Oh, really?
This is the very short part.
Well, maybe I'll ask Allegra. Do you think you're a good cook?
I'm a serviceable cook.
Okay.
So I have a limit. I mean, this is not a good moment for me, sorry. I mean, I could fib a bit and sort of zhuzh it up, rather. But okay, I just tell the truth. Should I just tell the truth?
Yeah, tell the truth.
A serviceable basic menu of about 6 dishes in rotation, really.
Okay.
You know, salmon in foil, nothing wrong with that.
No.
Sticky chops, with brown sugar, demerara, nothing wrong with that. Roast chicken.
Yeah.
Shepherd's pie, spag bol.
I think that Alice has gone over there to check whether Allegra can confirm or deny whether you... What's your favourite dish of your mum's?
When the microwave went ping.
Don't say that! No, you traitor! Don't say that in public, that's shocking!
Was that a microwave?
When the microwave goes ping, she said.
Oh, she went when the microwave goes ping.
Yeah, when the microwave goes ping, she said, just like mummy used to make. What's wrong with that? That's okay.
So is that why you had to really get into baking bread and stuff? Because your mother wasn't, feeding you properly with it was it lots of microwave stuff?
No, she was working really hard, and she was a single parent, and she was just out working and earning a living and trying to bring us up as young, independent women who could choose.
Doing my best.
Meatballs. I make a good meatball.
A reasonable meatball. Okay, I make a reasonable meatball.
But I need to talk about.
It's okay.
Vanessa, you actually talk. Your daughter.
No, I'm just
set
really
me up.
Trying to think of anything else I've ever cooked in my life.
We're going to celebrate.
I'm properly trying to think of anything. Allegra, come on. I must have made something else over the years. Have I not? Seriously. Meatballs.
You made a nice birthday cake covered in Smarties when I was two.
Okay, I can make a birthday cake. A flourless birthday cake. Okay, I once made a flourless birthday cake. Just one. I can make a reasonable cheesecake, not bad.
You work.
I'm ashamed. I'm not that ashamed. I was busy and I was doing other things. I don't know. I never really. It's not that I didn't eat. It was just I didn't cook.
No, but speaking about the other things that you were doing, now you are known as the most hardworking woman in broadcasting because I believe that this is how your day goes, right? You do Radio 2, 4 till 6.
6:30.
Yeah. Then you go straight to
Radio London. 7 till 10.
7 till 10. And then you hop on a bike
motorbike.
To go to This Morning.
That's right. And I write a newspaper column while speaking on the radio, but don't tell anyone that.
Yeah,
Thank you.
I think a few microwave dishes are absolutely fine.
Thank you.
Do you still love your job?
Yes. Oh, my God, yes, I love my jobs. I really do. I love the radio. Everybody loves the radio because the radio is just so, it's very intimate because you're talking, you always must imagine that you're talking to just one person. Yeah. That's why I say lovely listener. People think it's lovely listeners. It's not. It's lovely listener. You individual, personal, actual human that I am talking to voice, heart to heart, brain to brain. And suddenly you find that people will ring in and they will tell you the most extraordinary things. And sometimes will tell you things they've never told their own family. You know, sometimes they're incredibly heartwarming, sometimes they're utterly, utterly soul-destroying. And, you know, it's a very privileged position to be in, isn't it? Where people will confide in you and they will disburden themselves and they will also tell you amazingly funny and incredible things that they're doing. It's really great. And on the radio, you can move as swiftly as you like. So if you suddenly think of a story that appeals to you or it puts you in mind of something else, you can follow the stream of your consciousness wherever you like. On the television, it's much more prescribed. You know, if you're meant to be interviewing that person for 10 minutes, you have to interview them. You can't say, well, this was terribly boring, move on. Let's talk about something else. You're stuck discussing whatever it is they were meant to do. But the radio is fluid and immediate and intimate and special. Really special. And I've been so lucky because I broadcast on 7/7 that day when there were bombs on the train and bombs on the bus and everyone's phone went down and nobody knew if their family had actually been on the bus or been on the train and were they coming home. People started to walk home from central London. You remember that? Yeah. And the radio was the only lifeline. It was kind of the umbilical cord linking people and informing people in a very calm way of what they needed to know and where their family members were and all that kind of thing. I mean, I'll never forget that day, obviously. It's one of those things where you come out of the studio and you sort of emerge kind of blinking into the real world and you're astounded to see people behaving completely normally in the street because you've been so completely absorbed in this tragedy that you can't believe that everybody isn't in the same sort of vortex of anxiety. And it was really amazing. And obviously broadcasting right through the pandemic, when people were terrified, and so was I. And yet you're trying to keep everything as calm as you can, be informative, be reassuring, don't be patronizing, don't try and say something you don't know is true, but on the other hand, don't voice your fears and make people even more nervous than they already are. It's a really special thing to do. And if you say, do I love it? You can see, I love it. I absolutely am very, very lucky to do it.
Did you work from home?
Yeah. I mean it. You can see I mean it.
Did you work from home?
No, we were in the studio every single day.
You went every
day? Yes, yeah. And we were, you know, scared to touch the lift button, scared to touch the lift door. None of us could go in the same studio as each other. It was a most peculiar experience doing it. But, you know, when people were all alone at home, the radio was a really big thing.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love.
Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So, Last Supper, yes. Vanessa. Starter, main, pudding, drink of choice. Have you got any answers for us?
Yes, I have. So I don't exactly remember which dentist it was or gynecologist, but I was sitting in a waiting room. I must have probably been waiting for an internal examination, you know, that wait where you're just thinking, oh, the speculum, how cold is it going to be? And what tune is the gynae going to whistle? They always whistle when they do it, don't they? And it's just so... Anyway, I was sitting in this waiting room somewhere about, I suppose it must have been about 30 years ago. Mm. And I was reading some old magazine covered in germs, you know, as you do. And it mentioned a place I'd never heard of in my life called Ballymaloe. Has anybody heard of it?
Yeah.
And you spell it Ballymaloe, and it's in East Cork. It's beautiful, right?
Yeah.
It's in East Cork, in a place called Shanagarry. And the sort of thing about it is that it is a real family house, as opposed to a pretend country house hotel. It's real, they're real family, real boots, real dogs, the real family living their real life. Mm. But that a legendary woman called Myrtle Allen, who is the mother of Irish cookery, invented this farm-to-fork philosophy, where you essentially, I mean, now it sounds quite normal, then it didn't. You cook what's in season, you cook what you can pick, you cook what you can see, you cook something you can catch from there or something that's in the field there, and that's what you eat, and you make it immediately, and it's fresh and it's simple and it's special. And when I was reading about this, I just thought, oh my God, I'd absolutely love to go there. Anyway, we did go there, and it became one of these places that in your mind's eye you dream of, you know, when you're not there. Mm. You kind of, because I'm Jewish, we don't have ancestral homes or stately homes or any, we never even had a bloody timeshare in Marbella. We had nothing, you know, nothing much. But Ballymaloe became that thing, the place you dream of in my
soul. Is that
soul.
Why you bought a place in
so
Ireland?
So in 2017, every time I went there, it was Easter, and they had all this property porn, you know, could I have a monastery? Could I have a castle? No, you can't afford that. No, definitely not. But in 2017, I had these wonderful grandchildren and I wanted to buy them a blade of grass more than anything else. And so I bought a house kind of round the corner from Ballymaloe in Shanagarry in Ballycotton Bay in Ireland. It's so far at the edge of Ireland that if you go to the end of the road, you have to turn round. You know what I mean? It's the edge. It's the very end. And the food is sublime. I mean, people come from all over the world to eat it because it's so extraordinary.
It's also a cookery school.
And it's also the Ballymaloe Cookery School. It's just down the road.
Yeah. Did you ever do the cookery classes?
No, I should do. One day I'll do them.
Allegra.
I need to.
Hanukkah present. There you go. Sorted.
Allegra has done holiah demonstrations there at the cookery school.
Yeah, I'm going to try some. And I do have it. If you want some of the food as well.
And my grandbabies have done courses there. They've learned to do making butter and things like that, then they're only little.
Amazing.
We've had a marvellous time.
So we have a few little bits and bobs.
Thank you.
I'm not going to... I've now got a mouthful.
That one looks amazing.
Lovely, by the way.
But I'm just trying to think how to talk, eat and...
Have a little mouthful.
I think it, I might do what my grandma did at the mitzvahs and just stick it down my bra and eat it on the way home.
Oh, sugar, hold a minute.
How do I eat that while talking to you? So my last meal, and I hope that's not for a good 120 years, because I've got a lot of living to do, I hope. And on the subject of that, actually, I'm older now than my mother ever was.
Yeah.
What about that? Yeah. That's such a weird feeling, isn't it? Mm. You can't believe you're ever going to be older than your own mum. So my mum died at the age of 57. I'm now 60. So that's amazing, isn't it? And for my final meal, which I hope won't be for a long, long time, I would go to Ballymaloe if you would let me.
Absolutely.
And for the first course or the hors d'oeuvre, I would probably have fresh mackerel caught in Ballycotton Bay. Barely cooked, really, just kind of seared very briefly, and you know, maybe with some samphire, something like that they've just picked. And for the main course, I would probably have, and with apologies to all vegans and vegetarians, a lamb that I had just seen that morning gambling about the
No.
The thing.
Sorry, am I not allowed to say that in public? Forgive me. Please forgive me. It's not personal. I've got nothing against the animal at all. But that is, you're asking me, that's what I would have. And then for pudding or for dessert, Myrtle Allen, who's the legend of Ballymaloo, made this pudding. Have you heard of it, called carrageen moss?
No.
Has anyone ever eaten it?
Somebody has that.
Who's eaten that?
And is you it? You have.
Oh, and you're from Cork. Oh, hello.
Hello.
Hi. And it's the most wonderful concoction, isn't it? They make it with dried actual carrageen moss, which is a kind of seaweed, right? And then it's with milk, I think, and what else? Nutmeg or something?
Cinnamon.
And it makes a kind of almost like a mousse, like a white, delicious, a bit like rice pudding, but it's made with seaweed.
Have you ever had this?
No. It's called carrageen moss. It's the most
delicious.
I think we need to go there. Fluffy, slightly taste of the sea, taste of fantasy, what you dream you'll be when you grow up, that kind of thing. It's really delicious, absolutely delicious. Is that a good final meal?
That's amazing.
Is that nice?
I've never had it.
Okay, you talk and let me eat this.
Yeah, eat that. These are gorgeous. Very, nice. Very good. Gorgeous. Thank you, Mash.
Thank you, Mash. Would you wash it down with Guinness?
Yes.
You would?
I would.
Do you like draft Guinness, sir?
The thing about the Guinness in Ireland is it tastes totally different from the Guinness everywhere else. Everyone says that, and it's true, isn't it? That lady from Cork. Absolutely delicious, yes.
Now, who would be at your... of course, family would be there, but who would you have around that Last Supper dinner table?
Who would I have?
They're really good.
I wouldn't mind you two. I think you're pretty good company.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, if you're free, I'll have you there at the final hurdle.
On. Absolutely. Okay.
I have definitely. Sigmund Freud to tell me what's been wrong with me all these years.
That's a brilliant
Unravel my complexes and tell me, quickly cure me before I have to meet my maker.
I'm going to put that on there just in case you want to try it, and I'm putting that one on. And I've now fingered all your food, and
T.S.
I'm very sorry
Eliot
about that.
To see if I was right when I was writing about his poetry or if I got it completely wrong.
Oh, well, did you do your dissertation on him?
Yes, yeah, and Geoffrey Chaucer, of course.
Why, of course, Chaucer?
Because I love Chaucer.
Really?
Yes, it's full of sex and rock and roll. It's absolutely fantastic. So T.S. Eliot, Freud, Chaucer. Do I have to have anyone else?
I don't know. No.
Frankie Vaughan, God rest his soul.
Who's Frankie Vaughan?
You don't... Give me the moonlight. Come on, everybody.
He's a crooner,
darling. Give me
darling.
The girl and leave
and
the rest
probably
to me. He was a crooner.
Probably on the stage.
Vanessa, you can now say you've just sung at the Palladium, by the way.
Thank you. Frankie Vaughan. Frankie Vaughan was in a film with Marilyn... Frankie Vaughan was a Jewish boy from Liverpool, right? His name was really Abelson.
Yeah.
And he changed it to Vaughan because his grandma said he was her number Vaughan boy. So that's why he changed
it. Oh, you're kidding.
I'm not kidding.
Oh.
He had an enormous hit with Gimme the Moonlight. Alice, what?
No, it's not your earrings. It's the iPad. I'm gonna get some questions up from you lot and see if you've asked any. Hold on one sec. Wow, okay. There's a lot about custard in here. Are you happy to answer a question on custard?
Yes.
Wow, they're all about custard.
Oh,
okay.
Why is this?
This is Big Brother, isn't
it? Go on.
It?
Not really, is no, it? Since Big Brother. Okay.
Vanessa, what's the real story behind the infamous custard headline, The Gays Need to Know?
So this was after one of the numerous yo-yo dieting episodes that have defined my life, you know, enormously fat, a bit slimmer, a bit lot slimmer, much fatter, you know, that kind of thing. I've been doing that for years and years. And everybody knows there's some heavy irony, and heavy is the word, in my coming here to talk about food all evening with a gastric bypass. How does that work? Someone tell me how that was. Heavily ironic. So at least I've outed myself on that one. So I was either thinner or fatter or getting fatter, as I always was, and it said, Vanessa, friends say she's back drinking the custard. So Scott Mills from Radio 1 invited me to a custard drinking challenge to see if it was really true and I really was drinking the custard. But actually, it turns out it's really hard to drink custard. It's very thick, and when you upend the glass like that, it kind of globularly clings to the glass. You're trying to, you know, it's the kind of thing you can, but you can't really. So no, I'm not really a drinker of custard. No, that was an apocryphal, that was an urban myth. Are you sad? Do you wish I was drinking the custard? If you want me to say I did, I will if it makes you feel better.
Okay, that's an excellent
I really
answer.
Will.
How was Big Brother?
Big Brother, the first Big Brother. God, yeah. It was fucking hell, man. So it was
The first one was terrible. That you went back.
I did it. Yeah, but the second time I got paid. The first time I didn't get paid.
No way.
No, the first time was for comic relief. No one got paid.
Fair enough. Yeah.
No, it was ghastly. Absolutely ghastly.
Who was the best cook in the Big Brother house?
Oh, I don't know. Did we cook in the Big Brother house?
Yeah, well, someone did.
Jack D, I think, was cooking.
Oh, God,
Jack D was kind of in charge and everyone fell in behind.
Well, is he as miserable as he can?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Miserable. The whole thing was really ghastly. And that's why I wrote on the table, Big Brother asked for the chalk back. I said, fuck off to Big Brother. Of course, which covered my children in terrible shame. I still apologise. I'm terribly sorry. No, it was really hot. You really wanted to know? It was absolutely ghastly. It was horrible.
Why did you do it?
I did it because it was for comic relief. Richard Curtis
asked me. He's very persuasive.
And you know Richard Curtis. He's 4 weddings and a funeral. He's a veritable living saint. And you couldn't really say no. That's why. And also, I didn't know what it would be like. I thought, because we weren't being paid and because it was for comic relief and because nobody had really understood at that point what a phenomenon reality TV was going to be, because it was also new, nobody really knew, I sort of thought it would be kind of like the things where Lenny Henry's playing football in Rwanda or something. So I thought it would be, you know, Vanessa is buttering a piece of toast, you know, Anthea. That's what I thought it would be. And then what it actually was, the very first day we went in, we'd been there about 5 minutes, and we had to nominate people to be evicted. And Anthea Turner was nominated, and she burst into tears.
Get a grip.
And suddenly you realise the whole country are watching and you're the evil nominator and it's the worst thing ever. And from that moment it got really, you know, pretty hairy.
Who nominated you?
Well, Claire Sweeney nominated me. She thinks she's my friend now. She thinks I've forgiven her. If it weren't for her, I'd still be in the Big Brother house. It's only because of her that I'm here now. I'm furious, livid. I don't forgive.
Wait, what?
Who won that year?
I don't know. Who did win? I don't know.
Who cares?
Don't remember.
Somebody anonymous has asked, what food did you dream of when you were in Big Brother?
Oh, I think chocolate mousse. Everyone usually dreams of McDonald's for some reason. Everyone's like, oh my God, when I get out, I'm having a Big Mac, I'm having some nuggets. I think chocolate mousse, just vats of chocolate mousse in which to drown Anthea Turner and Claire Sweeney. I think that was the thing.
Now, this is from David. Which character in Chaucer's Tales would you be, or you want to be, and why?
The wife of Bath, of course.
The wife of Bath, of course. Didn't you do Chaucer, darling?
Yeah, not well enough, obviously.
Yeah.
Anonymous says, who's the most boring person you've ever interviewed?
Oh, God.
This is tame for all.
There are many hot contenders for that title, the most boring person. Oh, my God. I don't know if you remember. There's no reason why you should, but I used to be the on-the-bed person on The Big Breakfast. Does anybody remember that? So every single day I was on the bed with somebody who was meant to be a cosmic megastar, and some of them were absolutely excruciatingly boring. Andie MacDowell.
Oh, was she?
Beautiful, but agonisingly dull.
Oh, my dull. God.
Humorless, dreary, and absolutely anemic in every way, but beautiful, beautiful. What about Liza Minnelli's sister?
Hold on.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
Liza Minnelli's sister.
And I said, oh, my God. And I said something. I did know that it was polite to say, lovely to see you, and I know that you're singing some tune somewhere. That's excellent. But, of course, the whole point of her is she's Liza Minnelli's sister, right? Yeah. Everybody understands that. So quite quickly, I proceeded to, and Liza, she went mental. Absolutely. How dare you? I'm not just a sister. Mate, yes, you are. You are. You are just a sister. We know that. Come on.
This is from Abby, and she says, Vanessa, if you had to choose, would you never do radio again or never have sex again?
Oh my goodness.
Gosh.
Honestly, Abby,
why did you really
embarrass yourself? I want to know.
But does it have to be either or? What about both simultaneously?
Ooh, okay.
I think.
It's a new format there.
Something like that. That could be a good format.
Right, we have other questions to ask you. I've lost trail of thinking about Chaucer, wife of Bath, having sex in a radio. So anyway, okay, right, done.
We know that your man can sing.
Yes.
Can you sing?
Well, what do you think? I gave it a whirl just earlier.
Yeah,
why, do you
did.
Want me to sing something? Yeah.
No, don't worry, we're not going to
do you like karaoke?
You want my Yiddish mama? Do you want that?
What would be your karaoke song?
I like Cher, Believe. That's my karaoke
song.
Oh, yes. That's a good karaoke song.
That's a great song.
Or sometimes Trailer for Sale or Rent.
What's that one?
Trailer for sale or rent.
Rooms to let 50 cents. No phone, no pool, no pets. I ain't got no cigarettes, but got 2 hours of pushing brooms.
Eight by 12 four-bit room.
Mama, man of means by no means. King of the road.
Exactly.
Very nice. Thank you so much.
We love it.
I can only apologise for that. That was not my fault.
My friend said that she saw you at a garage brunch once.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you know, Fats and Small, with, you know, yeah. Ben was DJing. She said it was the highlight seeing you behind the desk.
Oh, that was nice. Well, I'm doing a bottomless. You know, the bottomless brunch.
Oh, are you?
Yes. I've done one. I did one and then suddenly it was COVID, but I'm doing another one.
And what happens in this bottomless
Absolutely brunch? Magnificent. Everyone gets completely rat-arsed in the day. And then you go rocking out at about 5 o'clock in the evening. You can't remember your own name. You wouldn't recognize your own mother. It's absolutely magnificent.
And when you say you're doing it, are you going to be on the decks?
Yes, on
What's
the decks.
What's your opener?
Bobby Brown.
To play that Living. Game you're playing.
Amazing.
Fantastic, yeah.
Now, okay, you've been on Instagram for like 4 months.
Yes.
You've got 150,000 followers.
157,000.
Sorry, forgive me.
Before I came on, Vanessa Feltz official with a blue tick. Come on, get in. Yes.
I mean, how many people are following Vanessa in... Okay, so now you're about to add about 1,000 more tonight. So how have you done that, Vanessa?
Well, I scorned social media. I shunned the whole thing. And until the pandemic, I had an £8 Nokia, a drug dealer phone. It was very useful. It's very useful. Actually, I've got, what would you like? I've got Street Value. No, I... And, a little chopped heroin, as they say, I've got, if you want
chopped
it.
Heroin.
Chopped heroin, I've got. But no, I had an £8 phone and I spurned and shunned and shooed and all those other words, social media and smartphones.
Yeah.
The only thing I quite fancied a smartphone for was to look at porn.
Oh, do you like porn?
Well, I hadn't seen any since the 1970s. So I just remember Confessions of. And when the guy comes to mend the carburetor, that bit.
But there has been
I
the
really
internet
loved that bit.
For a very long time.
Yeah, but I didn't have it. I didn't have a smartphone or a tab, you know, any of those things.
Oh,
so I'd never been online. I'd never bought anything online. I didn't have a bank account online. Actually, I still don't have any of those things.
And are you looking at porn now?
Well, this is the terrible disappointment of it all. So
Why?
Essentially, the pandemic happened. Mm. And my grandbabies were elsewhere, so I couldn't see them. They went off to Ireland, actually, to Hazel Island. So I had to have a smartphone to be able to FaceTime and all of that.
Yeah.
So having FaceTime a few times,
said,
I thought, right, the porn, right?
Yeah.
So then I had to put glasses on to see it, which really put me off.
I know.
And it's a very, very small screen, isn't it? I'm putting the glass, I'm holding it further and further and further away. And then I thought, where's the bit with the story? Where the guy comes to mend something or, you know, that thing?
That's Bridgerton.
What happened to that? So I didn't just want to see a couple of really ugly people humping with my glasses on. So it's been a terrible disappointment.
You know you can mirror the screen so you can put it on your TV if you need to. Ben can sort you out with that, don't worry.
I'm not going to tell him I've seen that. That would not lose all respect for me immediately. So what were we saying about the phone? Oh, yes. So what that meant was I had never, ever followed anyone on social media in my life.
Right.
And had no intention of ever doing so. And then I found that various jobs that I was doing, they said, well, you will tag us in, you will post, you will this, you will that. And when I said, no, I'm not on it, instead of saying we admire and adore you, they were disgusted by that.
Yeah.
So then I realised it wasn't funny and I better just hurry up and do it because I don't want to lose the money. I'm trying to feed my starving orphan children still.
Yeah, sure.
And grandchildren. And so I had to get on it. So I did on January the 1st of this year, just before I was 60. Who knew that I would fall in love with the whole thing?
It's
so
fabulous.
I love it.
I know.
I love it. I spend the whole time scrolling and that's what I'm doing. That's what's hurting my wrist. Not the other thing. I told you I'm not doing the other thing. I explained why I'm not doing the other thing. I'm just scrolling. But I'm constantly checking my numbers of followers, you know, commenting.
It's an obsession now.
Obsessed. But love doing it. Absolutely love it. 157,437 since I got here. And I'm really, really, in 4 months, it's not bad,
That's
is
great.
It? And they
it's
send
phenomenal.
You stuff. They send you quite a lot of stuff, don't they?
Yes.
I love it when I get stuff. It's the best thing. Then you have to tag some schmutter that you wouldn't wear in a million years because someone sent it to you. But I don't mind because I'm so pleased. I love the parcels that people write. It's the best thing, isn't it? I mean, this I bought myself and paid for, but if I could have got something sent, I would have got something sent. It's absolutely brilliant, isn't it?
I mean,
skincare, Lancôme mascara. It's just marvellous.
Like Christmas, like Hanukkah every day of your life.
Are you a TikToker?
No, I don't. I can only cope with Instagram. I couldn't do anything
else. But you do like the reveals where you click and you'll jump and you'll change your outfit.
We can jump. Yes,
she jumps and her outfit.
You jump and then you're wearing a different outfit. Then you jump back in the first outfit. I don't know. Ben does it. I don't know how we do that.
But like, so has Ben become like your social media manager?
Well, we do. We collaborate on it. He's good at the technical side of it. I mean, I choose my own music. I do my own stuff when he's not there.
No, it's really, really impressive.
I really do enjoy doing it. It's good fun.
So, Vanessa, do you have good table manners?
Oh, gosh, yes. No, I really do. My mum
sure
was
you
really
do.
Tough on
what,
that.
What was she hard on?
She was really big on, you know, keep your wings in.
Yeah.
So you don't eat with your elbows out like that. If you really, really liked it and she heard you going like this, you know, scraping up the last bit, she'd say, please leave the pattern on the plate. So you would never to scrape ever under, even if it was absolutely delicious. And if you had a bowl of soup and you wanted to get the last bit of the soup, you must always, as you know, tip the bowl away from you, never towards you. If someone's offering you a smoked salmon bridge roll, you must always take the one nearest to you rather than the really lovely one that's just over there. You mustn't take that one. Always the one, even if it's a bit of a nebbish one, you have to take the one nearest to you.
Oh.
What else? You never talk with your mouth full, obviously. Make polite conversations.
What about
talk to the people on both sides of you, even if you hate them. You know, loads of stuff like that. What
about real screens at the table now?
What, now?
Yes.
Under no circumstances. What's that?
Apologies.
Under no circumstances. No screens at the table.
Even for the grandchildren?
No. Particularly for the grandchildren. They don't have screens, my grandchildren.
They don't?
No, they don't. They're little. They're 8, 6, and 3. No.
Oh.
I mean...
No, really, they don't.
They don't watch Spidey and Friends or nothing.
On a screen, on a little screen. Absolutely.
Allegra.
Not.
No, really? No.
Oh, no screens. Conversation, no screens.
It's called survival.
We don't do that.
Miss Goodman, is this where Jessie's going next?
Where's Miss Goodman?
I don't know where Miss Goodman is.
Where is Miss Goodman?
Where are you?
Where
She's
is
shy,
she?
Maybe. No screens.
Jessie.
Okay, screens.
No, I don't like. Okay, fine. You have that conversation with my son tomorrow. Anyway, so can you tell us of one of your most nostalgic tastes that can take you back to somewhere good or bad?
I can go right back to the 70s, and I can say, and actually it's quite sexy just to say it, Angel Delight.
Oh,
oh my God. What am I? And then I've got to struggle to choose the flavour here.
But that's why I'm
struggling here, because you know what I'm, you know what I'm choosing between.
Butterscotch
or strawberry. And neither tasted anything like the thing. The strawberry tasted nothing like a strawberry whatsoever, did it? Nothing like. And the butterscotch tasted nothing whatsoever like butterscotch. It only tasted like Angel Delight, didn't it?
But it smells
like
strawberry. But
it was so great, right? Did anyone remember that? Yeah. Angel Delight. Oh, my God. Heaven. Can you still get it? It's the best thing.
Everyone's talking about it now. It's really creative.
It's the best thing.
A sea of conversation in the audience.
Have you ever had it?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's marvellous, isn't it?
Yeah.
No?
I'm not a fan of it.
Oh, my God, I love it.
But I can see there's a lot, you know, there's the custard. There's the Angel
and
Delight
and the
Ballymaloe
cheesecake and Ballymaloe carrageen moss.
This is your.
Well, that's why I've got a gastric bypass, isn't it?
Too much sugar,
too many sweets, too many curly words, it's all bad.
But it's a particular kind of consistency that you quite like.
Yes, that's right. The melt in the mouth, the kind of slide down the throat. When I used to be a stand-up comic many years ago, I used to do a whole shtick on is sperm kosher. And I used to say, because, you know, they're sort of slightly tadpole-y, and does that mean they're shellfish, in which case they wouldn't be kosher? And then I thought, maybe that's why Jewish girls don't swallow, right? That's what I was thinking, anyway.
Jessie, are they teaching you this in your back?
Miss Goodman, forgive me, Miss Goodman, I didn't know you were going to be here.
I'm so glad that we have a previous, and I say previous, sponsor of the podcast, Disney, in the audience. Vanessa Feltz, you have been an absolute treat.
It's been a privilege. Thank you so
honestly,
much for having
me. Please, big round of applause.
Thank you so much for having me, really.
I knew you were going to be fantastic. This has been such a treat. Thank you to your daughter Allegra for these beautiful
hala buns. Fabulous.
That if anybody is getting the chicken soup in the second half, I permit that you dip a little bit of that. We'll break the bread together and it will be gorgeous. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's been lovely.
Another round of applause for Vanessa Feltz, everyone.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.